Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 as we continue on in our study. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have given us your word. I pray, Father, that it would be our heart's desire to just mull over the things that you have written there. Lord, that we would be encouraged and comforted, knowing, we know, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, but you also don't want us to be ignorant of your ways and of your doings. We thank you, Lord, for the Psalms that encourage us, and we are mindful of the warning that you have given us, that even though you have done great wonders, we need to be mindful of what they mean to us and not forget them. Because, Lord, we are like sheep that just go astray for no reason, for any reason. But, Lord, you know our frame. You know that we are but dust. And yet you're so merciful. You're so loving to lead us back into your presence, to call us back. So, Father, I pray that we would not be dismayed, but, Lord, we would always rejoice in that you are our great shepherd. So lead us, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit, that we would not go astray, but that we would cling to you closer than a brother. That, Lord, we would seek you every moment of every day. We would be encouraged, and, Lord, that we would be strengthened. So fill us, Lord, to overflowing. By your Spirit, Lord, teach us. Oh, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple weeks ago, as we were doing the 1 Peter chapter 3, what we left off with was baptism, and how baptism a lot of people misconstrue baptism as, it's easy for you to say, as a necessary part of being saved. When in actuality, baptism is an outward sign of what's happened on the inside. That you have been born again of the Spirit and you wish to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, but by being submerged into the water, symbolizing being buried with him, so that we have died to ourselves and we're being buried with him. And then we rose again from the dead to symbolize, as we come out of the water, as we all have come out of the water, we have symbolized his resurrection. And this is what we're a party to. This is what we proclaim to people, that Jesus Christ is alive. He lives within me. He drives me. He moves me. He gives me words to speak. He fills me with comfort. He fills me with joy. This is the byproduct that we get, you know, of knowing Jesus Christ. And so it's not the putting off of the filth of the flesh, although that is a needful thing, and we do it all the time. We bathe ourselves. We cleanse ourselves from the outward sign. But we also need to do it from the inside as well. You know, I mean, if you just got in the shower and you washed your torso and didn't wash your hair and you didn't wash your feet, well, what would happen? You're not doing a good job. So as we go, we are supposed to examine ourselves to see if there's any wicked way in us. And we know that we can't see it, so we call upon the Lord. Lord, please examine me. I want to be clean before you. And I'm sure that there's something that I'm blinded to. There's something in my... You know, the things that I do that, you know, I just don't see as sin. And we all get blinded by that sometimes. And we get really, really, and this is the proof of it, is we get really offended when somebody points that out to us. You know, we see it and we say, oh yeah, that's it. Don't judge me, man. Who are you to judge me? And we just lift, you know, I know you. You can't talk to me like that. Only the Lord can judge me. But we tell folks of the things that we see so that, man, we can confess those things and we won't be judged by the Lord through them because we've confessed them and now they're cleansed. And these are the things that we can pray that the Lord would work on us for. Please, Lord, cleanse me from this sin that so easily besets us, this thing that I've blinded myself to, these attributes that I have that, you know, I think, well, you just wink at these things because, after all, it's me. And am I not your favorite? Am I not the one that you're at? You can't stop looking at me. You can't stop thinking about me. And so whatever I do comes from the hand of God. This is deception, folks. This is really deception. Because we get into habits that, you know, that are not pleasing unto the Lord. And we the Lord will forgive that. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. It is a very big deal. He put in his word all of the things that offend. that believers in him should not be doing. So as we go through these things, it is best for us to examine ourselves. I mean, really get down. Lord, am I really doing this? Have I really put away sin as Jesus? Am I example as Jesus was to us? He lived and never sinned. Why? Because he had a close relationship to you. Now, here am I, and man, I just, you know, drive out of my driveway, and already I've gone so far away from you. My heart and my mind is far from, you know, the things that you say that I should have. A gracious heart. You should be long-suffering. You should be slow to anger. A plenteous in mercy. Abounding in these things. That's not me. So something's wrong. Something needs to be done, Lord. Why don't I have these characteristics? Why don't I have these attributes? Why am I not filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, mercy? Why am I not filled with these things? Why am I filled with the things of the flesh? Or why do I act in the things of the flesh? Because we are flesh. But the Lord didn't leave us that way. And so Peter picks it up in chapter 4. He says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." That he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, obviously we're not God, but we are God's children. We are God's inheritance. We are the ones that God is showing the world what he is like through. We are his ambassadors. So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Now, I like the way that it's termed here because it kind of falls in line with Isaiah and Paul, how he says, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual in nature. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in high places. In the spiritual realm, this is where we do battle. And so it's arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. As Christ was not offensive to the Father. In fact, he was one with the Father. He could claim, "I and the Father are one. We are one in mind. We are one in spirit. We are one in purpose to redeem man." That's what Jesus was here for. But he was also here for a great many other things, to give us words to live by, to give us an example of how we should be conducting ourselves. So, he says, "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." Everybody wants to know, what is the will of God for my life? It's written right here in black and white. This is what we are here for, to do battle with the flesh. When the flesh wants to do something, we petition the Spirit to give us guidance. Because we can come up with all kinds of things to do, can't we? You know, and you know, as I said, we've said a couple weeks ago, it's just like, you know, if we're going into places where we would rather not God be, then we ought not be going into those places. This is the way that the Lord is showing us here. So he's saying, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now, a lot of us would think, well, you know what, suffering, that, you know, that's not my thing. I'm not into suffering. But think about it for a second. You know, and I've joked about it. It's just like, you know, the only time that, you know, the Lord hears from Christians is when they're in trouble. That's why Christians are in trouble so much, because the Lord wants to hear from you. Now, if we have continual trouble, think about this for a second. If you've got this weighing, pressing thing, let's say, you know, they're going to repossess my house. You know, and I mean, I've been in this house for 20 years, and all of a sudden the bank's going to come and repossess this house. Your single thought is going to be, how do I save my house? Or it's going to be wrapped around something about that house or that situation. And you're always going to be thinking about it. And you're always going to be involved in it. But you see, as a believer, if we're going through trials and tribulations, let's say an illness, a disease, something, you know, that's affecting us, we're going to be before the Lord all the time. We're going to be constantly praying for this thing. You know, let's say you broke your leg. You know, you got this terrible pain in your leg. You're going to be praying, "Lord, relieve me of this pain." But you're going to be before the Lord. You see? You're suffering in the flesh. And so take this to the nth degree. Say, all of these things that I've looked at in the Word, Lord, I'm doing these things in the flesh. I'm not doing them in the Spirit. So be constantly before the Lord trying to get rid of those things. Then you're growing and you're maturing. But on the other hand, not everybody is on the same page as you are. We're all in different areas of our walk. You know, we have not arrived at what we're going to be, but we're moving toward that direction. So when we see a brother or sister that, you know, something that the Lord has really, really dealt with me about, and you see somebody, a brother or sister, doing that, your natural cause in the Spirit is to come alongside and help. It may not be a time for that person to hear somebody coming alongside to help yet. So you pray. You see it, and you start to pray for that person. You don't confront them. You don't go right up there and tell them this, that, or the other thing. You start to pray for them. That's how you come alongside, because you're asking the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, to come alongside and say, Lord, you know, just help them in this situation. I know you've helped me. Now I want you to go to bat for this person. You see? This is what the body does. And then, and only after you have prayed and perhaps fasted for this person, do you ask the Lord, should I say something? And if the Lord does not answer, do not speak. Let the Lord give you the words to speak in due course, and maybe as you're talking to Him, the Lord will give you a word to speak to them. And it won't be a word of condemnation because it's coming from them. It'll be a word of encouragement. It'll be a word of, you know what, as you're confessing, you know what, I'm confessing my faults, you know, I'm going through this kind of thing. You don't even have to, you know, come up and accuse them of it. Just, you know, Lord, as you're coming, you're just talking about, man, I was going through this, and man, the Lord just really came, and this is how He dealt with me on this. And then all of a sudden, man, you're building up a rapport with people. But it's over time. It's not an accusing kind of a thing. And that's where I think the church has really gotten off, because we feel that we have to be, if I may use the term, shepherding people. We see this person do that. Well, we got to deal with that right away. We can't have that in the church because it's like leprosy. You know, we got to realize that it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work, not us. We're the byproduct. We may have gotten a victory over something and we're rejoicing over it, but man, as soon as you cast an eye on somebody, wait a minute, you know, then you're becoming the judge. And the Lord's not called us to be judged. See, the Lord has called us to warn people of judgment in our holy lives. So we should no longer live the rest of this time in the flesh, to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And so this earmarks a separation. See, this is a very hard thing for those who have not been separated. If you have not been born again, this stuff is, you're going to really stumble over this kind of stuff. You're going to have a hard time with it. Because what's the earmark of being a believer? That you're putting others before yourself. So, okay. So, in the time past of our lives, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wines, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. See, this is the only reason why you would be spoken evil of as a believer. That you're not doing the same things that you used to do. Those things have fallen away. Those things, they have no draw for me anymore. I don't want to do those things. And those that you've run with, you know, as I said, the family is the hardest people to witness to. Because they knew you when. Oh man, when I became a believer, I came back in 81. And it was just like the hardest thing to do was to try to convince these people that Jesus Christ was now in my life. And it's just like, you know what? I remember, man, all of the stories that I know of you, we used to go out, yeah, I know. That was in the past. I don't do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore because of Jesus Christ and because of my relationship with Him. And they say, no. So it was just like Paul. Paul tried to, man, he begged the Lord. Man, let me just go and witness to my brethren. Because they worship God, but in ignorance. They don't really know that this Messiah has come. And he says, no, Paul, you have to go to the Gentiles. Oh, I wish that I were accursed that I may win my brethren. That's how deeply he cared about his people. But they weren't going to buy any of it. I remember you used to persecute the church. I remember you used to put people in prison and you harassed them and you did all these terrible things to them. And now you're a follower? Come on, really? And so they're going to speak evil of you. You know, that, and that's okay because you've witnessed to them. In the very next verse, it says, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? You see, for this cause was the gospel preached also unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. See, those that we have been around, those that we have been able to preach, I'm of a changed life now. Look at my life. Watch me. Watch me as I grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're dead. You see, they're dead spiritually. They're natural folks, and the natural people do not discern the things of God. Neither can they know them. It's like somebody that came in, and, well, I'm just going to presume nobody knows how to speak Chinese here, and they started talking to you in Chinese. It would be like, man, what are you talking about? What are you saying? That's exactly what the Scripture does to those who do not that are not born again. You understand Chinese? No, okay. Progressive schools, who knows? But I just use that as an example. You know, it's just like, you know, I don't understand what you're saying. You can sit there all day long and talk of the goodness and mercy of God, and they will not understand what it is that you're talking about. And it's frustrating for us because we can see, oh, the beauty of the Lord, the greatness of His mercy and forgiveness of sin. Man, I don't have guilt anymore. I don't have any of this stuff. But they can't understand. It's like, you know, they're in a glass bubble, and they can hear your mouth moving, but they can't hear anything that you're saying. That's, you know, the only way that it comes to, because they are dead in trespasses and sins. They are still enemies of God, and God's Spirit is not going to touch them or be able to do anything until that sin factor is taken away. We understand, because our sins have been removed. I mean removed. It's like taking your appendix out. It ain't there anymore. Because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, He has taken away our sins. So we can hear freely of the Spirit. We can read the words and we can understand these things. We can see the warnings. But all for those that are unsaved, all we can sit back and do is, oh my gosh, that's all we can do is watch. And live our lives the way that we know that we're supposed to do. And this is, you know, they're going to be accounted for. Everybody is going to give an account of their lives. Sadly, you know, we have gone through and we have confessed Jesus Christ to people, and that's going to be a testimony against them. We look at them and we can see, man, you guys are, you don't know what you're doing. And it's exactly what Jesus said. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. They can't know. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh. That would be us. We're here in the flesh. We've given them the word, but they have rejected it. And that's the judgment that they're going to receive. Oh man, you don't know. You're going to be standing before the judge. But live according to God in the Spirit. The separation between the Spirit and the flesh. The more we live in the Spirit, the less the flesh is going to have reign over us. You know, it's like that. There was a story that was kind of cool that falls right into this, and about the little boy and his grandfather. Was an Indian, and they said, you know, the grandfather says, "Hey, you have two spirits within you. You have the wolf, and you have the lamb." And he says, "Which one is greater?" He says, "Well, the one you feed is going to be greater." So the more you give yourself over to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the more you call upon the Lord to fill you with that Spirit, the greater your conquest is going to be over the lusts of the flesh. You're not going to react to those things anymore because you're no longer living in that realm. I'm not feeding the flesh. I'm not comforting myself with, you know, killing people. I'm not comforting myself with making their lives miserable, but I'm praying for them. I'm praying for their salvation. I'm praying for their eternal reclamation. And as you're doing these things, then the lust of your flesh won't have any dominion over you. You're like, put that thing to the side. And the more you feed your spirit, the more it's going to be stronger and stronger until that's your habit of life. Just like Jesus. That was his manner of life, to stay up all night just so that he could have time with the Father alone. He would stay up all night in the mountain before every major decision that he ever had to make. He was always all night in prayer. Check it out. Go through the Gospels and see. When he called his disciples, maybe he should have spent a week up there. The whole aspect is every time the Lord did something of major import, he was always all night before the Father in prayer. You know, when's the last time any of us were all night before the Father in prayer? We should be all the time when we see the world that we live in. Lord, don't let me respond in the flesh to the things that are happening in the workplace. Are you so offended because people use foul language? You know, I mean, that it shouldn't affect us at all. This is who they are. You can't expect them to be something that they're not. Even professional people, the language that they use, it's weird. There used to be some kind of a moral compass. But even in the workplace, I hear people that are, you know, VPs and things, and they're just like they were high schoolers or something. What is this? What has gone on? And then, you know, and what happens is it does affect us if we're not really living in the Spirit. These things will start to permeate. And then when the earmark is when these words escape your lips, this is the Lord telling you, you're not feeding the Spirit enough. You need more of the Spirit. The flesh is getting to you. And it happens. We let our guard down. Everything's going well. Oh, Lord, praise your name. And we go along our lives and nothing really bad happens. And all of a sudden something bumps us. What comes out of your mouth? Christians are like toothpaste. Squeeze that tube and you'll see what comes out. Is it blessings unto the Lord or is it what you've picked up in the world? And neglect this word and that's what's going to happen. The world is going to come out. But if you saturate yourself, if you fill yourself with the Word, what's going to come out? The Word of God is going to come out. Now, Peter was as I am. In verse 7 he says, but the end of all things is at hand. It's imminent. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Make yourselves ready. Make sure that you are ready to meet the Lord because the end of all things is at hand. Now, he wrote this about 2,000 years ago. The end is at hand. You know, the world that we live in now, it's going to be gone away. But we have eternal life. We will live forever and ever and ever. These short years that we're here on this rock, yeah, it's going to come to an end. But man, as soon as it ends, we start a new chapter. We start a new chapter with the Lord. Paul says, in the ages, plural, yet to come, we will show forth the Lord's glory. There's going to be this age. There's going to be another age after that, and another age after that, and another age after that, where we get to be and serve the Lord in whatever capacity that he has us doing. Right now, we're serving the Lord here. What if he sends us, you know, what if he recreates this, and like in the millennium? We're going to rule and reign with Christ. That's another age. That's another opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. This is nothing. You know, you say, well, I got a really bad hand this time. You know, I didn't really get... Man, you've got a great hand because you got Jesus Christ. And that is all that you need. That's all there is. This is going to be rolled up as a scroll and remembered no more. And then a new age is coming. Oh, yeah. Are there going to be hardships? Yeah. We'll have God. We'll have Jesus. Will there be sufferings and tortures and things of that? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what the Lord's plans are. You know, nothing. You know, I have not seen, the Scripture tells us, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man what the Lord has for them that love him. Do you love him? Oh, man. Now, the only thing that we can do is we can imagine quite a bit, but it's all relative to this realm, which won't be there anymore. How our minds are going to be so blown away when we finally see him face to face. Man, I can't believe that I was actually attracted to any of that stuff before, because now it's not there, and Now we have the opportunity. Now is the time that we get to worship the Lord. Not having seen Him, but believing. We are of a special group that the Lord has called us. We are of a special people. You know, it's just like the children of Israel in Egypt. They saw all of these things, but they didn't understand them. We see all of these things, and we understand what they're doing, but we understand what God's doing. He's calling out a people for Himself because of what Jesus Christ has done. He gave His life to call out an inheritance to Himself. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Marching orders. Sounds like something to do, doesn't it? The Lord's giving you direction. What shall I do? Here it is. Be sober. Okay, that doesn't mean abstain from alcohol. That means having a sober mind. Understanding what the Lord wants from you. Understanding who you are and what you're here for. As an ambassador to Jesus Christ. As a, you know, you are God's spokesman. He's going to get to that in a second here. Watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. If you have the love of God, you're not going to be pointing out the sins of others. You're going to be praying for them. You're going to be watching unto prayer. You're going to be sober. You're going to have a sound mind to say, you know what, that person needs help. That person needs the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go to bat, and I'm going to be in the spiritual realm praying. You know, that's what what Jesus prayed for us. You know, I don't pray for these here, but I pray for all of those that are going to be believers because of the witness of these guys. And you're all here now because of the witness of the 12 apostles. Okay? All of their testimonies. That's why we are here. Because of their testimony. And who's going to be here because of our testimony? You see what I mean? Who's going to be in the kingdom, in other words? But, you know, and Jesus says, if you love me, love one another. Okay, this is the commandment that I give you, that you love one another. Not with your fleshly love, but with the spiritual love. This is what we love one another with. Anybody can, you know, manufacture love. Oh, I love you, man. You know, I'll cover you, you know, whatever. But it's a spiritual type of love. It's the only thing that can come from the Spirit. It can't come from us. We cannot manufacture this. Otherwise, we would be able to say, oh, yeah, I did it on my own. I manufactured this, and there's a lot of churches that do that. They have programs to teach you how to manufacture love one for another. But only the Spirit can make it genuine. Everything else is a counterfeit. If it's not done by the Spirit, then it's a counterfeit. Don't fall for the counterfeit. Fall for the real thing. You have the Spirit of God. Use the Spirit of God. And the test would be when you see somebody with a fault, what's your response? What is your response? See you. Or is it going to be, let me go before the Lord? See, that's the difference. That's the difference. Go before the Lord. He knows what needs to be done. Let us leave it aside. Let us go before the Lord. That's how you cover a multitude of sins. You see somebody that's unruly, that, well, they claim to be a Christian, but they're doing this, then please fall on your knees and go before the Lord, that the Holy Spirit would show them. Because it's always better when the Holy Spirit does it. I make a lousy Holy Spirit. Please don't call me on to do that. Well, I saw someone do this. Well, you're gossiping. Fall on your face and repent before God. You know, or you know, take that person to the Lord and pray for them. And continually pray for them. And watch the Lord work. Because then that person is going to be on your mind and you're going to be watching. And then you can see the transformation taking place. Husbands, love your wives. Pray for them. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Pray for them. That's the way things are supposed to go. Praying one for another fervently, that our prayers would not be hindered. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Now, if you have the gift of hospitality, and we all do to a certain degree, but some more than others, then do it without grudging. Oh, somebody needs a place to stay. And I got that spare bedroom. Just cleaned it out. Got all the books done. All right, yeah, you can stay. That's grudging. You know, but when you open your doors, well, come on in. You need a place to stay. I just cleaned this out. The Lord must have known you're coming. Obviously, he did. Let's get this set up for you so you got a place to stay. Hospitality. Not grudgingly. As it is, you know, if you're doing it grudgingly, then you know that it's not of the Spirit and it's of the flesh. You're trying to manufacture Christianity. Or churchianity, I should say. It's not Christianity, it's churchianity. That's what it is. Well, my pastor said I have to do this. So. I want to be a good Christian before the Lord. Praise God. Come on in. I suppose you need money too. You know, that's not the Lord. The Lord doesn't treat us that way. When we came to know the Lord and confessed our sins and he forgave us, you know what he did? He came and he gave us, come on in, I've been waiting for you. You know, I love the kids. They come in, they give you a big hug. They're happy to see you. You can't manufacture that. You can see it in their face. Man, they're just, you know, they just love to see you. And that's the way the Lord is. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, you know, hospitality isn't the only one. But why did he single this out and coupled that with loving one another? Because that's what it is. Loving one another is making sure that they've got the things that they need. You know, if you see somebody that's destitute of food and lodging or whatever, and you say, well, be filled, be filled, be at peace, and be gone. Then you're not doing the work of the Father. The Lord brought this to you for you to do something about. You pray about it and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? If you don't know it right away, then what would you have me to do, Lord? So, as you are a servant one to another, it's going to come out. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Now this is something that we really, really, really need to take to heart. You're here today going through this because God wants you to know this. It's not just for me, and that the Lord just whopped me upside the head with this. So, if any man, Mr. and Mrs. Man, speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, everybody know what the oracles of God is, right? It's the Word of God. The oracles of God were first given to the Jews and then unto the Gentiles. These are the words of God. This is what's supposed to come out of Christians' mouths. The oracles of God. We are to speak as God speaks. When we speak, they're hearing the good news of the risen Christ. Now, does that mean we just parrot the same? No. Our language, our habit of life is peppered with the things that we have learned of God. It shows forth the grace and the mercy that God has shown us to others. It's not faked. It's not contrived. It is what it is, as it says here. As of the ability which God giveth. Not that we manufacture, not the programs that the pastor has set up for us to do these, not the 12-step programs that we're supposed to do. It's the ability that God giveth. So therefore, what we have learned in the past is that we should be slow to speak, giving careful considerations of the things that are going to come out of our mouths. Because we know that if we're real quick to speak, if we've got a quick wit and we've got a quick tongue to go with it, you know, we are always regretting some of the things that we've said. We always say, oh, no, I didn't say that. Got away. But if we're slow, meticulous, judging what it is that we're supposed to say, Lord, what is it that I should say? What should I say to this person? It's always a sign of wisdom that somebody waits and calculates the things that they say before speaking them. It's always a fool that blathers on about nothing. And you know that. If you have social media, I mean, if you've been on those things, then you know that, man, people just got diarrhea of the mouth. And that it just goes to their fingers, and man, they just posting all this nonsense, and it's just like, wait a minute. but a timely word spoken. You know, a soft answer, as the proverb says, turns away wrath. But that can only be done after the initial flesh has risen up. Let me think about that for a second before I answer. Let me think about that. Let me count to 250,000 before I answer that. Because that's what it's going to take sometimes. Because after 3 or 4 weeks, man, I'm still seething about that person said, I could have got this singer in, and I could have got that singer in, and man, I'd have put them in their place, that's for sure. Never do battle of wits with an unarmed person. That's just a word of wisdom just that I'm throwing out there. That's not from the Lord, but be slow to anger. Calculate. As the Lord, because we're supposed to be God's representative. And if we're speaking out of turn, you see, a diplomat for, you know, any country always is conferring with the president of that company or that country so that they will give an answer that represents that country, the proper. If we go and speak whatever it is that we think, what's going to happen? We're going to be out of step because we're not in contact with the president or the king or whatever it is of that country. We represent King Jesus. And we should be in constant communication with him so that we speak the words that he wants us to have. Not of ourselves. We know what we would like to say. And sometimes we do say that. But we're supposed to be representing him. And so, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Don't speak out of turn. Let God give you the words. If any man... Just as an aside, if he doesn't give you any words to speak, guess what he wants you to do? Not say anything. It's better to be quiet and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So, be quiet. Be wise. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Whatever it is that you're ministering in, whatever your job is to do, whether you are... a secretary, whether you're a VP, whether it doesn't matter what you are. That's where the Lord has called you to serve. And that's where it gets a little dicey. Because we're supposed to interact with this world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. You see, as God gives us the ability. Well, how do we know what the ability is? Because we're in constant contact with the Father. What would you have me to do in this, Father? I mean, even if it's a routine thing. You know, there's a procedure. I do this. What would you have me to do, Lord? Maybe the Lord wants you to better the procedure that you're mundanely following every day. Well, this is what I have to do. And then you present it. Said, man, this is, you know. And then somebody will say, hey, this is a better way of doing it. Or I said, no, I don't want that. I want you to do it the way that we've prescribed. It doesn't matter. As long as you're asking the Lord what it is that we are supposed to do in our day-to-day lives. Because we can get off track. We can get, you know, the world is a changing place. Because if the Lord has given us the ability, God in all things will be glorified through Jesus Christ. I changed the wording up a little bit to make it personal unto ourselves. If God is doing it in your life, then the praise and the glory is going to be for him, not to you. The vessel is not the one being praised, but it's the one who's controlling the vessel. They're the ones that are going to be praised. You are going to diminish. Like John the Baptist said, he must increase. I must decrease. Less of me, more of the Lord. If people see me and see the Lord, then that's the right aspect of it. But if they're looking at me and they're praising me and they're naming things after me, then they're not getting it. Or maybe I'm not giving the proper glory unto the Lord. God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That is why we're here, to give God glory. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen being so be it. So be it. Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you, Lord, for just the mercy and the grace that you pour out to us. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would lead us and guide us. And Lord, help us to put to practice the things that we have learned. I pray, Father, that we would not just put these things aside, but Lord, that we would carefully consider all that is before us. We thank you, Lord, that you are so merciful and you're so long-suffering and patient with us. And I pray, Father, that as we interact with brothers and sisters, that we would be kind and patient as well. Not because we are forced to, but because you have given us the ability to do so. Lord, we do love you, and we want to glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.